Who the sun sets free.
Who the sun sets free.
Whosoever the sun sets free.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
Hi guys, welcome to Free Indeed Podcast with Josh. And today we're going to be talking about something very deep with a guest that is equally deep from a deep space. I think I should stop making jokes, like I sound really ridiculous. Sorry guys, I apologize for those dry jokes. Hey Jodie, welcome to the podcast with Josh.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
You're laughing, that means the joke was funny.
No bro.
Wow. I will yet make you laugh.
Fine.
So nice to have you here, JP.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed talking with you late into the night. We're both working. And it's been so much fun. And there's one conversation we had that really struck me about how people go through pain in their life, how they rationalize it.
Yeah.
And how it can lead to chronic depression, and how if they cannot handle it, it can actually lead to suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
And I saw one of your tweets about stuff like that, and there was somebody I was talking to who had gone through that same scenario, and from your tweet the person could this person has gone through it and they're out of it, so it could give me inspiration that could come out of it too. And that's something we spoke about also, sharing your story, how your story helps people associate and know that they're not alone in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem is people feel when you share your stories, people are like, this person is going through this, this is bad. So but it actually makes the person go, me too. Do you understand?
Yeah, exactly. And
they can associate with it. So just the floor is yours.
The floor is mine. I want the mic though. I'm wondering where to start from, but I think am I sharing my story now?
Yes, you are.
So I think that let me not even try to rationalize it yet or explain it yet. Mm. What I know for sure is I had always been, growing up, I had always been very curious. I ended up being introverted, because I felt very misunderstood. Mm. I was not the best of communicators too. And then I wasn't...
That's funny. Knowing you now.
And which is one of the reasons why when I see people in a certain space, I'm always trying to tell them, I know this is where you're identifying yourself right now, but I think there's a lot of growth that can happen with you over time. And it starts from agreeing that you are, even though this is who you are right now, this is not who you have to be, whether it's introvert or it's sanguine, whatever, all those identity things are. I'm like, we can grow into what we need to be if we really are ready. But that being said, I know that, one time, I don't know the exact year, I'm one of those people that I'm not looking into all the details that much. It happened. That's what I know. And so one time, I was super overwhelmed. I used to wake up prolonged every day, just feeling like the world would be better without me. And it wasn't one of those like random regular thoughts that you'd be like, think about it. The world is actually better with you. Like, really? The world was actually going to be better without me, who I was at that particular time. I only woke up to steal from people, to lie about, like, I don't think anybody knew who I was. I lied about everything, to keep up an appearance. So I was living in and trying to sustain a false reality. An actual person, I was alone. Like, there was nobody, I was failing, in what people expected me to succeed in school, I wasn't really the pride of the family. And I understand it, they loved me other ways, they were proud of me other ways, but it didn't change the fact that they wanted me to pass, and I wasn't, and that was disappointing to them, and I was seeing the disappointment, and I was continually hearing from people, like, either friends, I was lose friends after the final alive or something like, or just hear the statement over and over, like, see, man, like, you're just pain. And it became an identity. And I know that, after like being in that place for a prolonged time, I was just like, what is there to life? And I tell people this, there back then I was atheist, so I didn't have the fear of, oh, if I kill myself, I'll go to hell. Like,
Okay, so it's true.
To me, I was just, I was about to make like a decision that honestly, like, I didn't, and the reason I was going to make it was, it wasn't just because I was there. I was trying to be better.
Yeah.
I remember trying to stop, like, when I tell people I used to steal, see, you don't understand. Like, it was, like, it was first nature. I don't think about it. I had to go and research, why am I like this? Why am I stealing stuff I don't need? And then I'll see the person hot after them to pin me. And then I can't now go and meet the person and say it was me because I've seen all the drama around it. I had to go and research, and I remember finding there was something like kleptomaniacs that, you know, were impulsive thieves. And then I took that identity again, dropped it on my head, you know. But who do you talk to? You know, I say you're a kleptomaniac, you know, so something.
Just put you, know, on you and burn you.
Do you understand? So I was really trying to be better. And I wasn't being better, so I started to conclude life just may be, you know, better. Really, actually, like, if I go, nobody will steal from you again. Nobody, like, I won't have to keep up with these lies. There wouldn't be anybody to be disappointing you with the next grade. In my head, I'm just like pointing full circle. So it was like the logical decision. And then I was going to have my, it was a lot of pain, so just a lot of pain. And so I was going to have my last lunch. I went to the school cafeteria. And bought, like, I remember, like, buying two bottles of Pepsi and just bought, like, my favorite, you know, mixed rice dish there. And I was just eating, and I knew how I wanted to go. I was going to, I was going to jump off a certain floor in a certain place that I had seen it, like, because I was like at the third floor. I'd seen it, like, this would be the best place to knock, because one of the fears coming to society is doing it, attempting, and it doesn't go through, especially if it's something that has to do with like height. So I'm like, okay, here might just be, you know, really good. I'd read about snapping the neck and blah 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 blah. That was how deep it was. So
you had researched?
I had researched. Yeah, I researched about the best way to go. And I didn't want all those slitteries, then someone will find you. And I'm like, let's go once you get. And I didn't even think about a suicide note because I felt like that thing causes pain to people. You know, and so I'm just like, let's go. You know, everybody will be happy in the long run. And I'm there sitting down eating. And then that's when somebody walks up to me, Yemi Levi walks up to me and sits down and starts to talk. And I'm just like, who is this guy? Long story short.
What was he talking about?
I don't really remember all the story, but you know how you see someone really looking like heavy, like everything is on you, and then you go and sit down with the person. I know he starts telling me stuff about don't be hopeless, and in my head I'm like, what I've tried. Like, you really don't know what I've tried. You don't know who has prayed for me. Do you know my father is a pastor? You know, I don't like, see, you know, he starts to tell me his story. I know that at some point in he's telling his story, though. Like, I think he mentioned something about his mother being a hawker and his dad being a taxi driver. And I'm like, man, see you. Like, like, how did, you know? But it's still, those things just look like, oh, you have external hard circumstances. It's not like you as a person, you are I mean, you are, people even saw you enough to pay your school fees, right? Me, I'm like, they'll see me and be like, this is a waste. Let me tell you, like, how bad this thing is. I don't know how to explain, but I feel like it's when I share some of the details that you realize, if you did this and you really didn't want, you know, that the things I want to do, I'm not doing it.
Then,
you know, if it was like one thing here that was not noticeable, like, I could live with, I don't know, maybe. But I remember one time my dad sent me to school with my school fees. Like, see you school fees. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then I go to the school. I tried to pay my school fees. The portal wasn't working for 2 weeks. Bro.
No.
Next.
No. No.
And non-premed. It's not like I woke up and I was like, ah, this is what I'm going to do. First day, 10K. Second day, 10K for 12 days straight, like 12 days of Christmas. Anything anyone, my friend, wanted just to keep up with a lie of I was IB big boy for school. You know, I'm like, hey, I'll buy lunch for everybody. Then after I buy lunch, I'll now go home and go back to my room and live with myself. What did you just do? Then I'll wake up the next day and do it. 12 days straight, 120,000. Then the portal started working.
So how did you?
Do you get? So I'm trying, imagine now being in school, having all the phone calls with them, like everything is fine, trying to keep up that image. I'm like, that was, you know, when you go to like a door and the door is like depression and you knock it. I'm like, hi, depression. Like that was what I was doing every day. Like I was just doing stuff that was like, this is going to kill you. And then I remember having to see my father. It was a week before exam, to tell him that I can't write exam because I haven't paid school fees. Like, what do you mean like you haven't paid school fees? You know, they dealt with it well, actually. Anyways. But that's what I'm saying. Like, those were the things that, I mean,
I get you.
I had to repeat a year, you know, and be in the same class with you. All those things, you know, together. And it's just like, see, I'm trying. I can't be what a lot of people want me to be. Mm. Let's go. Let's go. And a testimony is saying, stay away from my life. You'll be better.
Mm-hmm.
But I get to meet Yemi Levite. And in the middle of Yemi Levite sharing his story, I caught a glimmer of hope. I don't know where the hope actually came from, which part of the story caused it, because I know I was rolling my eyes at him heavily, like, who are you? I'm an introvert. I don't need people in my space right now. And then another thing I noticed was, it seemed like, and I had seen this over the time of my like societal thought cycle, that there was always this peak period of being overwhelmed. That sometimes if you wait it out, it will fade. I don't know how to explain that. You know, it might not be the same for everybody, but you know, just like you can have like that peak overwhelm period and then you fall asleep. And when you wake up, you're slightly better. The same issues, but the feeling is, you know, so it looked like as he took a lot of time, suddenly when he was done, I just didn't feel like killing myself again. But I had been having suicidal thought cycles up until that point where I was ready to actually execute. And so by the time I came to myself, I knew I had to deal with this. Like, I'm like, you were actually going to kill yourself today. And then I started, you know, because of that glimmer of hope from our conversation, I'm like, who says you really cannot? Like, just that one more kick to try and be better. You know, and the good thing for me and for my story was, God started, I know being an atheist at that point, I started to think, nobody knew. How did somebody just walk in at the peak
at that
time?
Moment.
Could that be, because I was curious, you know, could that be like God loving me? And then it started like a whole cycle of, you know, chains of event that kept me just grabbing one light to the next light to the next light, learning, you know, different things, you know, along the way. And then I became, you know, a believer and then dived into God's word. I started to see how God cared about, you know, my mental health so much, you know, that he gave a lot of, you know, advices on how I should live. And those are the things that have, you know, sustained me.
Amazing. Would you say what you get from, like what you said, when you get the peak period and then you wait it out, or when he was talking to you, did you get like a different perspective? Could you be like a different perspective too?
I think that's what I mean by like, I think I just started to see, like, you know, even just that simple question of, could there, it's not like you have the answer yet, could there actually be a better tomorrow for me? That question alone is enough to breathe
and just,
like, it's actually enough to really breathe. And I know that was it for me. I didn't have like, oh, you know, this guy's testimony, I claim it. But it was just, first of all, the feeling weighted over, and then I could think a lot clearer. And then in my thinking clearer, I had questions like, you know, could that be, shouldn't be, because he said God told him to come to my table. So I'm like, could that be God? Could God love me? You know, because the way I viewed people loving me was just mushy, you know. So when my parents were disappointed, it didn't feel like they loved me. Do you get what I mean? When my friends were honest enough to tell me, bro, why'd you lie like that? You know, I don't like that and I don't want that around me. I equated it to being, they don't love me. So, you know, just those things started, it started the journey. Didn't, you know, blow it up, but it started the journey. But the bigger changes were the things that I learned, you know, as I started to move forward.
Amazing. So something you mentioned about how you saw yourself as you were, mm-hmm. and you thought this was the end, so you felt, okay, I'm no use to society.
Yeah.
So could you say like it became better when you saw the possibility of changing? Yeah. Not that you saw yourself as this, okay, this is me, this is who I'm ever always going to be. I'm never going to be, so I need to end it now. But the way you saw yourself as you could grow,
mm-hmm.
it became better.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Because why I was there was because I was who I currently was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it would have been really nice to know that, yeah, I could stop lying and I could find people who I could really be myself with.
Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. I could stop stealing from people so often. Or I could even, like, you know, do things that would literally actually truly make people around me proud, you know, of me. So definitely that hope, you know, brought that home. Like, I got me excited for it.
All right. So if like there's anyone listening out there that is in the shoes you are right now, what would you tell them?
The only shoes you could be talking about my actual footwear, but
guys, Jody's footwear.
Blessed are the feet of they that preach the gospel.
Very blessed.
So, but yeah, and usually if I find somebody where I was, I think I want to listen to them so that I actually know what to say to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But one thing I know, you know, that I tell people is this. Whatever we are experiencing in our lives right now, whatever we are expressing in our lives right now, rather, is a fruit of what we have absorbed.
Mm.
And so we want to expose ourselves to the right things so that we can express the right things. Sure. You know, Jesus makes it clear that out of the abundance of our, you know,
your heart,
the mouth speaks, the things we put in our hearts will determine the issues of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to have a more joyful expression, the question is what's coming into our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for me, what was coming into my heart was consistently who I thought I was, identifying myself with that. When I had suicidal thoughts, because I already stigmatized, you know, people who are suicidal, like, it's like, you want to kill yourself, you must be at the low of the lows,
mm-hmm.
you know. But the moment I started to have a shift of, you know, of perspective by the right things coming into my heart,
mm-hmm.
of, oh, who I, what I did isn't even who I am, it's mm-hmm. just what I did.
Mm-hmm.
That I True. Used to be such a liar,
True. True.
It doesn't make me, you know, that I used to lie, it doesn't make me by identity forevermore a liar. Mm-hmm. It means I lied. Now I need to deal with lies. Mm. You know, that I used, that I stole didn't mean I'm a thief. Look at me. Because those are the things our heart is just absorbing it, and we're bearing an identity. I'm a failure. That you fail doesn't mean you're a failure forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
It means in that season, yeah, you did fail, or you might even say, yeah, in that season you're actually a failure. You don't want to lie to yourself. You don't want to be a hypocrite. But this doesn't have to define me forever, right? I failed, so stand up, let's try again. Like,
True.
That's what I mean. Like, it's the principles going forward that started changing me. So the main thing I want to, you know, I always do is I want to listen to the people and find out what they've been absorbing to get themselves to this point where they feel like life has no place for me. Do you get? Why do you think that? It's because of your experiences.
Yeah,
it's because of some questions in your head. So I want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to give you perspective. I want to tell you, if we get something else in, especially the truth, and God knows the truth about you, God knows exact, God looked at you and he knew you would be lying and you would be stealing, you know, and he made sure that he could help. You know, his spirit is those are the things that make Christianity so powerful for me.
Yeah.
How God, you know, see some of us can think about eternity and go, okay, what do I do about, I'm better now, but what do I do about my sin of my yesteryears? And instead of getting depressed that we're going to take the wrath of God and go to hell, we can rejoice that Jesus Christ is a sacrifice.
Yeah.
But if I didn't see the you know, the perspective of Jesus Christ being a sacrifice, there's really no hope. Did you get what I mean? Like, there's nothing. What am I going to say to someone? Like, don't worry, the fire will not burn you too much.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or I'm saved, but why am I still lying? Instead of stopping at, you know, just absorbing, I'm a liar, I'm lying, and then I'm like, bam. what about, you know, what does God, what did God do about this? And then yeah. like, wow, put my spirit in you and he'll cause you to walk in my ways. I'm a throne of grace, come obtain mercy, mm-hmm. you know, not mm-hmm. beg for it, please, but mm-hmm. obtain mercy, you know, take grace. And it's just what's coming into our hearts is definitely what's going to breathe out,
yeah.
you know, of our lives. So what I always want to do is find out where they are and then listen, and then from what they're listening, you can pick out the things that are lies. Mm. They're already saying, see, you don't know what I've done. I'm like, I don't care what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you can do going forward.
Yeah.
And I know what you can do going forward with company mm-hmm. if you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get? And looking for how to wisely place them in circles. It's yeah. those are the things that will really, you know, really, yeah. you know, bring change. Not just one line of aspire to pass by.
True, very true. We had a conversation, I think, 2 nights ago about how some of these things happen from when a lot of Christians don't understand when bad things happen. Difficult situation. So what do you have to say about that?
So what I figured out as I was journeying was many times that I came into a place where I had, even as a believer, that I had like a societal thought inclination again, I was depressed, was because I was in a difficult situation I didn't know how to handle.
Mm.
And then now I want to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to, after seeing like the pattern, I'm like, every time I was able to handle the situation. So for instance, you're in a bad debt
mm-hmm.
and then the world is coming for you
mm-hmm.
and you want to lock yourself in your room. You don't want to pick phone call. Now you're depressed. You don't want to die. Isn't it funny that the moment somebody maybe you get a big alert,
mm-hmm. everything just
clears. Yeah. So the moment you have like what it takes to handle like the situation. The problem was not really the depression. The depression was a symptom or a byproduct of something else going on.
Yeah.
Like you were in a difficult situation. The problem was not really suicide by itself.
Yeah.
The suicide came as a result of, I want to kill myself because, you know, so, and many times I found out, and this is not to put down people who are really actually medically ill
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
people who are influenced by, you know, just a demonic evil spirit.
Yeah.
And I tell people for those two spaces, there is help.
Yes, it's serious help.
To get, if it's a spirit, you know, there is the power of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if there's anyone even listening right now, I can guarantee you before we're done, if it's a spirit, it wouldn't be there anymore, you know, and for the medical point, you know, there is actual medical help.
Yeah.
And there is still the power of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you have options,
options
you know,
yeah.
so literally like that place, no wahala.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the major, and that's even what pained me about this whole mental illness space. Everybody that was not able to handle a difficult situation or depressed just put themselves in this space of I need drug or I need,
yeah.
I'm like, no, some of you just need wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you need Ecclesiastes chapter 4. One of my best books. Exactly one of my best books.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people don't like the book of Ecclesiastes because it paints reality.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It tells somebody who is working hard that you can work hard and money will not come through.
Yeah.
And they don't want to hear that.
They don't,
But when you don't do that, you are setting yourself up. I painted one picture of my church one time when we're talking about dealing with hard times and the importance of accepting reality.
Mm.
How Jesus will look at his disciples and say, to Christians who want to believe that, well, because I'm a Christian, I should never be in this difficult situation. And Jesus is like,
you look at me point blank and say, guys,
you are even following me. There are some situations that will be difficult for you. And when you have that mindset of, you know, being ready for difficult situations, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, have you ever had that time when you were small and maybe you did something to daddy? Daddy was angry. Daddy was already ready for king for you. You now enter the house. And then maybe mom sees you at the door and says, ah, don't worry, he's not angry. So now your heart is not ready for any difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
You now enter like, and then the next thing came.
From anywhere.
Like the trauma of not being prepared, you know,
yes,
is worse. Like it's worse. It's like just straight up, like, you know,
very
to
true.
Like, ah. But there's something about being accepting reality and being prepared. So first of all, I used to tell people, just accept. And it's not lack of faith. You know, accept that you would have difficult or you may have difficult situations. Now, there are different things you can do to avoid difficult situations. You don't always have to be in a difficult situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a death thing. You know, you just might have to want to put yourself in there. You know, if it's a, you know, you're not the best, you know, your parents are not excited about your result. maybe you actually need to stop playing games so much. Did you get what I mean? Like, you know, but I would say, you know, that the whole bottom line is we need many cases. And when I started to look over my life, I'm like, you're always hitting the cycles because you don't just know what to do yet. You got into this situation, you didn't know what to do, you gave up quickly. And then I saw Ecclesiastic was the book that blew my mind. Talked about time and chance, mm-hmm. and time and chance being like, there's a time to die, there's a time, mm-hmm. you know, like, and also like for even opportunity, you know, mm-hmm. for succeeding. But the moment I was able to go, ooh, even if I try to avoid completely difficult situations might come, so that I'm not that Christian who, when a difficult situation comes, I'm now going, what did I do wrong? Like, mm-hmm. you're just opening the door to be depressed. What did I do wrong? You now start searching. That's the time you now be remembering everything that God has forgiven you of.
Yes.
You know, exactly. You're like, oh, could it be that? Could it be this? And then you're just going down.
It's actually even worse for Christians. We have this, like, it's if we don't have a strong hold on our faith, on who God is and who this and what the sinful world is, and that bad things will still happen in the sinful world, we will start going down this spiral of, oh, what have I done?
That God's promise is in the New Jerusalem, that's where we'll have no pain.
Yes.
You know, and so literally God had to start helping me diagnose, like, hey, you see what happened here? Like, so I started treating my suicidal thoughts, mm-hmm. and my depression as symptoms of something, mm-hmm. because I already come from a place of whatever I'm expressing in my life is a result of what I've been absorbing into my heart. Mm-hmm. So when I'm depressed, I'm not bearing an identity anymore. And I tell people this, and I'm just going to mention it in lightning, and moving back and forth on ideas. But whenever I had a suicidal thought, because now I'm looking at it as a symptom, I treated it as a temptation, as every other temptation.
Mm.
You know, so when I'm tempted to lie, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to lie. When I'm tempted to, you know, do something immoral, I don't want to do something immoral. Mm-hmm. I go with God's word, you know, on that matter. When I'm tempted to just go down a spiral, mm-hmm. you know, I find a way. And some of us know some things that can steer us up.
Yes.
You know,
some steps to take
to get just, I find a way, you know, part time around coming out. And so I never, when I had a suicidal thought, I stopped treating myself as a suicidal patient. Mm-hmm. Like, oh God, you always want to kill yourself. Mm-hmm. And then I'm beating myself down. Now, the thing that's keeping me down is no longer even just the suicidal thought, it's the way I'm treating myself. Mm-hmm. Right. So I started to go, oh, why did you want to kill yourself? And then I go right to the thing. Or is it because you feel alone? Okay, how do we get comfort? I shouldn't be alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, just what we're talking about, mm-hmm. says two are better than one. Mm-hmm. You know, I see under the sun somebody who is walking with all his might, but he's alone. Mm-hmm. And then it says, what's the person who is alone on the day evil comes?
Mm.
And I realized I was the introvert. I was always saying, I'm the introvert, I'm the this, and I'm the alone. I'm like, well, now, what if you had somebody to do life with?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that make the difficult times easier to bear? Mm. What if you don't just have somebody to do life with, but somebody resourceful to do life with?
Yeah.
When the person is down, you lift them up. When you are down, the person lifts you up. Mm-hmm. So I started to look for company, good and right company.
Yeah.
I started to find people that I could be honest with and tell them, this is where I am, but this is not where I want to be. And then go. And I was looking for people. Like, it's not like I was trying to find one person to dump on the load. People that were in particular areas, I had to learn to be open. I remember that was when I used to talk with Pastor Aaron first. Mm-hmm. I would find him in his office. I would ask the precise question. I still practice it up to the day. I was in a season recently. I didn't know how to handle it. Rather than sit down there and dwell on how this is such a difficult season and I can't handle it, I thought to myself, who can lift me up? And then I called one person. As I was talking to the person, I remembered somebody that was even way better on the matter. Called the other person, can I see you tomorrow? Because I just need the knowledge. I don't necessarily need the person to be walking beside me, like holding my hand every day. I just need the impactful knowledge and wisdom for that time. And so I've learned how to, you know, go, this is a difficult situation. I'm not doing well in school. What do I really need? why don't I want to go for tutorials? Why do I want to pretend like I'm fine when I'm not fine? Mm-hmm. No, you cannot do this. Deal with the shame, deal with the ego, deal with the guilt. If I have to cry, whatever I need to do, and then go for the help, because I know that's what will really bring a change.
Yeah.
You know, if you find out that it is an addiction, you get there. And I tell people, there are people out here today speaking about it. Some people, like, the reason they're just in that chain of depression and suicide is they feel they've tried, and they feel like God is now super disappointed because mm-hmm. by now they should know better.
Mm-hmm.
There are people you can work with.
Yeah.
That will get you out of that thing in a heartbeat.
And it will change your perspective. And
you might try person one and it didn't work. Come on. Try person two.
Yeah.
I tell people, in looking for who to work with, my circle is gold right now. But before then, you know, I had people that messed up with the information I gave them. But the reason I kept on going, it just made me wiser as to finding who to share. But the reason I kept on going was because I'm like, I can't be alone. I know what it's like to be alone, and this thing is eating me up. You know, so I always learned to diagnose myself. I'll mention one more thing that I saw, you know. So I used to identify myself as an overthinker.
Mm.
And I used to be the guy that used to be like, I needed to solve, worry helped me solve issues. So when you tell me, like, if you see me like maybe worrying or something and I'm over about the season, and you're trying to tell me don't worry was worth my trigger word. You get, like, if you tell me don't worry, if you want me to just go mad, just tell me don't worry. You know, and especially for Christians, because I feel it was a Christian thing to say, don't worry, it is well, God will work on you. You know, and so whenever I was in a difficult situation, my first inclination was worry. I start thinking about, start blowing it up. And then somehow in the middle of it, I'll find a way. So my conclusion was always worry helped and the overthinking helped me solve this stuff. Until 2017, when I nearly ran mad, bro. I'm talking about, I'm gonna just share it because I know maybe somebody has even hit that point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, it's not, oh, I think I'm about to run mad. My head was so full, I couldn't stop my thinking processes anymore, because the thing about overthinking is you give yourself the permission to not, there's nothing seething like this, enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going round in circle, whatever, you know. He wants to do. I couldn't sleep because when I close my eyes, it's still, my brain is just running. But I was waking up exhausted, and he had a deadline. The issues, you know, I was facing had a deadline. So I remember, like, you know, getting to this point where it became very deep sighs, like heavy sighs. Like, you'd be like, Joe, what's going on? I'm like, don't worry, I'm just trying to sort out something. And then one day I was at home alone, and this thought started. The voices in my head became actual loud voices. Like, my thoughts, that thought you're thinking, mm-hmm. became as audible as me talking to you. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then by evening, I was trying to shut it off. But you don't shut things off by shouting, stop! You know, it's wisdom mm-hmm. that helps you. You know, and there was no wisdom to navigate. So I was trying, the harder I was trying, the more it was driving me crazy that I couldn't stop it. And then I got to this point where it was like I was out of control. And the only thing I could think of doing was, because I knew about the suicidal thought cycles,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm like, I don't want to kill myself. I don't want to grab a knife and try to end it.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran out of the house. And this is why I ran out of the house. So that in case I actually run mad, somebody will see me and bind me and take me for to hell.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was inside my house with locked doors,
mm-hmm.
nobody will be able to. So I ran out of the house because I was actually sure I was going to run mad. And then, I'm like, you know, just moving. And then when I got out of the house, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to church. It was like 10:30 p.m. And so I started like trekking to where I could see a bus. And that thing again of that overwhelmed feeling just allowed. By the time I got to church, you know, I just knelt down and I'm like, now I have to sort this out, because that's the thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't want to just be here. What can I do? And I'm the kind of person, I start reading quite God's word first for me, you know. And so I went to Jesus' scripture where Jesus said, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
The don't worry, that was my trigger word. I'm like, I know I got here because I was worrying and I was thinking, but it used to help me solve stuff. Sat down, I had to learn. Oh, this is what worry means. To dwell on the issue, so like it's never solution based.
Many times
I was worrying, yes, but in my space of thinking, you know, around the problem, I would often stumble on a solution. But was there a way for me to just go straight for the solution? You know, is there a way to think and think strategically rather than worry? Like, oh, this is a difficult situation. You know what happens if you start thinking about just the repercussions. Your mind might blow this up. So hold on, this is difficult. What do you really need to do? Or they just, you know, canceled something you were really expecting. All right, that's hard. We're not trying to pretend here. But what do I really need right now? Do I need to reapply? Do I really need to, you know, cry it out? You know, do I need to call someone and tell the person and not just be alone in this? You know, what help do I really need? Do I even just need patience? And there is, it might not necessarily be like something to do right now. Do I need to just see how this goes? Do I need to focus on other things? You know, and make those other things, you know, work. You know, so just seeing how like, oh, there were things to do. Like I could think properly about this stuff. I could pray. The one thing I always felt, you know, I prayed and it didn't work. I learned how to pray when I had difficult situations. You know, I learned the difference between going to God and say, God, I'm surrounded roundabout, Shaki. Like, I'm like, you know, I learned how to see. I love guys like David, who was like holding the promise of God, yet in the process of holding the promise of God, he was being chased and he was like his back against the wall.
And he was right? open about it.
And then he spoke about it with God. And when he spoke about it with God, he was transitioned from I'm surrounded round about, but you are a shield. My present help in time of need. And it's a confidence thing. It's not something I'm waiting for proof for. I learned how God's word, you know, that statement, don't worry about anything, but in everything, you know, prayer and petition and thanksgiving, make a request known unto God, you know, and the God of all peace will give you. Well, I give it to you and I don't feel it. Instead of waiting for a goosebump feeling, I learned what that scripture really meant. Whenever the Bible tells us to pray to God, it expects that we are considering the context of who God is and what He's able to do and His heart for us. So it's like me when I enter like a difficult situation and I think, remember we're talking about think first, like the moment you're in a difficult situation, it's think, who can help? Whenever we worry because we can't handle stuff, let's be serious about it. Or we think we can't handle stuff. Sometimes we think we can't handle stuff we can handle. Like you're just worried and then someone points it out to you like, well, you can't do this. I can do this. There's that worry. But many times the legit one is when we can't handle stuff. Now we're worried, how will we solve this? And that's what Ecclesiastes was talking about. Woe to the person who is then alone. But if you're with people or you can reach out to people, now it's easier. Do you get what I mean? And what happens when you now reach out to all the men in your life and women in your life and it's gone? There's nobody that can help. The believer is not without hope. He has his father to reach to. That knows what he needs to get. And he doesn't even have to beat around the bush, you know, with him. And so I had to learn, like, when the Bible says, don't worry, pray, it was telling us to do the most logical thing ever. The same way you have a financial need and you call Uncle Danjuma. Uncle Danjuma has not yet, like, just as soon as you have the financial need and you just remember there's Uncle Danjuma, there's just that peace, like,
He has not even said anything.
So you're just like, God, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Okay.
I'm good.
You know, and then you call Uncle Danjuma. You're like, Uncle Danjuma, like, how are you doing? Like, Uncle Danjuma. You know, remember that business I was doing? Folded up, and I have so much responsibility. And you know. And then the next thing is Uncle Danjuma just says, let me think about it. The situation has not changed. Just the presence and the knowledge of Uncle Danjuma and who he is, and you know he has a heart for you. You're already calm. Do you get what I mean? And so I feel like if a lot of us are very conscious of God with us, you know, and his heart for us, and we get to know. When I didn't know his heart for me, it was hard to accept. But as I grew in the knowledge of his heart for me, you know, and I started to even understand a number of things, even about answered prayers, you know, I was like, ooh, wow, that's amazing. You get, I don't have to. I'm very tempted to. Maybe I've even already started, but I can stop myself in my tracks and say, you don't have to. The Bible says the peace of God will come over you, not necessarily because a goosebump will come over you, but because you should know who you just approached. And you should know who you just casted your care on, that he cares for you. Hebrews 13:5 speaks to people who are struggling with like love of money, and he says, come on, I know this is a difficult time for you, but don't let the love of money have you. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you can say of the Lord, he is my help and my God in whom I will trust. Right? And so I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's not only for people doing great commission. And then like, God, follow me on this mission. It's like, where you are right now with the most difficult thing. Yes, get people around you to do life with, to help you handle life, you know, easier. But never forget, you know, that God is with you. God, your Father, is with you. And that puts you on that supernatural edge.
Yeah,
that still guarantees you favor, even though you're accepting difficult situations can come.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Can still guarantee you protection, even though they're wicked and unreasonable men. So when they're wicked, you get caught by wicked and unreasonable men. Like we're talking about the whole SARS issue one time. There's, you know that this was part of reality.
Yes.
And it gives, there's a hope in your mind for the new Jerusalem. But it doesn't stop you from saying, Father, deliver me.
Yes.
You are my rock.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell people this, and I'll say this and then hand over to you. When it comes to confessions, we need to be very, very, very clear on how it works. You know, people don't want to tell the truth about the fact that they're depressed. They're suicidal, especially because they're believers, because they feel that that's negative confession. You know, it's just like when someone is really ill, and we don't find out until this critical stage, because they're basically like, and I understand, you've said you are strong, and someone around you said, don't say that. But they do not understand. In the last meeting we had with the people that we gathered with for depression and anxiety, the first thing I did was I showed them in scripture people who actually made the kind of statements that we've all made, we in that circle, where we're like, I don't want to do life anymore. I showed them Rebecca. I showed them how Rebecca's own was even just because, you know, she saw that Jacob might take away. She was like, if Jacob takes a woman from the Hittite, what is there to life? And I'm like, you know, I showed them Job, you know, with his illness. I showed them Solomon after all the wealth. I showed them Elijah,
man of God.
People are like, oh, that pastor took his life after preaching, after doing all these mighty things. Elijah just killed like the 400 prophets. And then he was weary. See, fam, there's something like being weary. Like, he didn't see a way out. Like, am I just going, they want to kill me. I'm just going to be doing power exercise every time. It's like, just take my life. You know, God had to strengthen him. Jonah. And Jonah, all these people had different reasons. All their statement was a symptom of something. Rebecca was a woman, you know, wife, you know, issue. And I tell people this. When you hear someone wants to commit suicide and you hear the reason, don't downplay it.
Yes,
the fact that the person considered going, you might be wiser and you might see what you can do in that situation. The person
did not.
Your duty is to help the person see that they don't always have to come to that end thought, you know, there. And then I showed them when it came to depression. I know some people fight me on this point, but fight all you want. Check the Greek root word and you come to the same conclusion. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, my soul is exceedingly weary. And he was speaking concerning something everybody should have been like, isn't that why you came anyways? Like, it's like that man of God that God calls and you have already told you what you are supposed to do. Now it's time to do it. You're now like, hey, God. Again, like, my friend, man up. You know, but Jesus was like, hey, then he called the guys close to him, like, pray with me. You know, and we get to learn, you know, how to endure, how to handle, you know, these difficult times. And the more, I feel like the more a number of people learn how to just handle and navigate, it's different, the dynamics. For people, mine, I had to learn what how to differentiate from worrying and thinking. I had to learn how to come out of my introverted self to get the help I need. I had to learn, you know, how to properly correct myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was always used to condemning myself. Yeah,
putting yourself
the moment down. I do something bad, I'll just bam, throw myself on the floor. Ah, stay there. I had to learn how to look at myself and say, you messed up. You really messed up. Now get up. Don't just admit that you messed up. Let it affect your schedule. Change it. If it was while I was growing as a believer and it was an addiction thing, I learned how to look at myself and not just say, ah, God still loves me like that, and then try to let that be the only thing. Mm-hmm. I learned how to look at myself and say, yeah, God loves you madly like this. But what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Is this really just because you are growing? Or did you lose out on some points? Did you guard your heart as you should? Did you let loose on, you know, the communications that came? And I start addressing it immediately so that cycle breaks. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I had to learn that, you know, many times it wasn't just about suicidal depression. It was that many of us just needed to grow in wisdom. Many of us needed to learn how to be patient with ourselves while we're growing.
Mm.
You know, we're so easily gracious to other people. So easily, you know, it's easy for us to tell other people, don't worry, I got you.
Yeah.
But we don't know how to tell ourselves, Joe, don't worry, I got you. You know, and I had to, that's the funny thing about many people that actually contemplate suicide. Many of them are such great listeners to other people.
Mm-hmm. True.
They're so present in other people's lives, but they don't know how to be present in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And to really just, you know, do the advice that they're always pouring. For some of them, that's why they now want to give them, because everybody comes to me, I'm able to give them advice. But me, my own, I don't know how to take my, calm down. Give yourself some grace, you know, and grow. Difficult situations happen, get people to do them with.
Mm.
Get the consciousness of God, you know, in your spirit, in your mind, you know, so that at least when the difficult situation happens, you can respond differently. Your joy has no boundary.
Mm.
Your love, you know, can pass knowledge. Your
mm-hmm.
peace
mm-hmm.
can pass,
mm-hmm.
you know, understanding. Mm. And I think that's how I've been. It's more, you know, but that's what I can share right now.
Wow, thank you so much, Joe. Thank you so much. Like, I just, from all you've said, I've realized how there are key pressure points and how to overcome these pressure points whenever they come around, and how to handle situations,
mm-hmm.
and how to just be a better person. Everything you said has to do with taking action, right?
Yeah.
So the people that might listen to this and be like, oh my God, that's so true. Oh, snatch my wig. Oh, shake that table. Well, you won't get help if you don't take,
action,
right? And most of the time, like, one thing I've realized in my faith work is that sometimes I did not have the power to take the action before I was a believer. Now that I'm a believer, I am empowered
to take
the actions, right? And then the wisdom comes from the Spirit of God within mm-hmm. me also to do certain things.
Wow, fam, trust the times, power of God.
Yeah, the power of God is
past
is
your strength, past your knowledge.
Past
God
everything.
Is committed to helping you.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I've seen, like, in very little things that I felt so inconsequential, like, ah, God, this thing is too small for God. No, God is interested mm-hmm. even in that space. Mm-hmm. So it's just been, it's amazing to hear your stories. I'm ready to hear you dish out this pattern to follow. Mm-hmm. But if you don't take action, if you just have this head knowledge and you mm-hmm. don't let it sit in your heart and take action, like finding this right circle,
yeah,
not overthinking stuff, knowing, okay, how can I think about this in the mm-hmm. positive, like, look for
even
solutions,
learning to be content.
True, that's very important,
because if you diagnose, it always starts from the diagnosis. Why are you where you are right now? Why are you so depressed? Why are you thinking about, if it ends up being because you don't have things you want to have, your first step of action is to be content.
Mm.
Paul was talking to Timothy, and he was talking to him what to say to people who desire to be rich in the church. And he said to them, see, learn this, that godliness is not the means towards gain. Like, if that's not like, oh, if I'm godly, then gain.
Gain.
You know, because I'm a Christian, then gain. You know, instead, learn that godliness with contentment is a great gain.
Mm-hmm.
He says many people have pierce themselves mentally. That's mental health talk
mm-hmm.
right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because of their desire, the excessive desire to have these things. It says teach them to be content. And being content is not being complacent. It's just having the ability to be okay with what you have right now while you hope and go to get
mm-hmm.
more.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, just action, you know, I'm just saying that to say, like, the action sometimes,
it's
like
sweet,
I said,
yes.
it's just,
patient.
Oh, I need to be patient with
mm-hmm,
myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going good. I'm actually getting better.
Yeah.
Calm down with yourself, you know,
yeah.
or, you know, being gracious to yourself, or being content. And I know it's hard, like I said already, when it even comes to the action part. But we can't always expect what we need to do to be easy.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know, we do the things we need to do because we need to do them. People have betrayed me, but you need company.
Yeah.
So let's get wiser. That's a different conversation in itself, like how I found my company and all that, you know, dealing with the heartbreaks of people, you know, misusing information. But here's the thing. Do you still want to be alone, especially when difficult time comes? Or would you rather take the risk and then find people to do life with, you know, over time? And if the latter is the best, then it's hard, but it's necessary.
Necessary. And nothing good comes as easy except the gospel, believing the gospel. But,
yeah, but when someone wants to do a show free for you.
But yeah, it's so important to do that. Thank you so much, Jody. But yeah. I believe like this touched on so many subjects that if I had, because I actually did have suicidal thoughts before I became a believer. And if I knew stuff like this, I would have taken exact steps. I would have known the steps to take to get out of what I was going through. Even if it's not tailored me to somebody, but there are pressure points, there are very important points that you can filter into your own situation and take the steps to. So thank you so much, Rudy, for this conversation. It's been so awesome. And for those of you listening, if there's anyone that wants to talk or reach out, you can reach out to me on my Twitter. It's Josh Defe, and that's Josh TheFiend. And then on Instagram is Joshua Kesena. That's Joshua KESENA. So just reach out to me and we can just continue the conversation. Thank you so much, Rudeep.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for the time we spent together. I've learned so much within our time. There's one question I have. Sometimes when we're working and then you're doing something and then you just be like, oh, thank you, Jesus, and you just speak in tongues for a while. Like, what process is that?
Because I'm working?
Yes, when you're working, when you're doing things and then and you just... Oh, thank you, Jesus. And you speak in tongues for like just a brief moment, and then you're going for like what? I know this is throwing you off.
No, it's fine.
Okay, so what process is that?
It's so I believe that there are a number of things when we find something important, a knowledge that is important, all that is left is for us to be intentional about applying it. Mm. I think we leave a lot of things to chance.
Yeah,
do you get what I mean? And we are very intentional about concerning relationships in our life that we think is important.
Mm-hmm.
But our relationship with the Lord is far more important.
Mm-hmm.
And as life gets pretty busy, if we're not intentional about taking a time out to build in the consciousness of who is with us the most, you know, in prayer, or we're not intentional about the gifts that can edify us and stir us up more than any other gift, which is praying in the spirit, you know, or speaking God's word over ourselves. Because if we go through today now, for instance, this is why me and my people leave things to chance. Go through today. Things will come at us and will come into our hands. And if we go to the wrong places that we also need to be in, do you get what I mean? Things will come at us and come into our hands. So how about every now and then, we just take that moment. Instead of going, like when I get back home and then between 10 and 11 at my prayer time. But that particular moment that it crosses your mind, just speak to yourself. You know, in psalms and hymns, that moment, speak to the Father. That moment, you know, pray in the spirit. You know, and to be sincere, some of the times that you've caught me doing it is especially when I'm about to worry. Do you get what I mean? And I'm about to worry, but I'm like, you're about to worry, but you can stir yourself up with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. You're about to worry, but you can, you know, speak to the Father and just say, I have you.
Mm-hmm.
You get so it, every now and then, I'm just consciously intentional about you know, making sure that
I actually learned it from you. Like, I started I think the first night we were working together, that I noticed it, and then the Holy Spirit made me understand that it's okay, that's your whenever you want to worry. Like, I just said it now, like, whenever you want to worry, you do that, and I'm like, I could do that too. So I started doing it, but then when we're working together, I don't want to freak you out, so I do see my mind.
It still works.
Thank you so much, Jody. Yes, it's been an amazing time. Thank you so much for deciding to come on the Free Indeed podcast.
Thank you for hosting me. Josh hosted me for the whole week. I really appreciate it.
I gained a lot. So thank you for coming. I gained a lot. All right, guys. Till next time, please remember to subscribe, share, rate us, and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Josh and his wife and his baby hosted me for the whole.
True.
Okwe, we love you.
Yes,
Okwe, thank you so much.
You're very important. You're very important. Thank you so much. Let's not forget to.
I'm leaving one shoe for you.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, remember to stay free as the sun has set you, which is you are free indeed.